Hey, y'all. Winning at Life. Live Financial News Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. Kind of from our standpoint, second day into the year. It's Tuesday. You know, the year, started on Friday, but it wasn't business. Today's the second day of business. Second day of the market. How's the market going to look tomorrow? We can talk about that. How should you be investing this year? We can talk about that. How about your 401ks? That's where most of you have your money. I am your host, Gregory Ricks. This is The Money Show. Let's talk. 504-260-0995. How might taxes change this year? You know, that guy that's going to be sworn in a short time, Biden, you know, he kind of campaigned on raising taxes. So are you going to be prepared for that? You know, they're going to go up anyhow in 6 years because the tax bill that was passed a few years ago under President Trump was set to expire 10 years out from when it was passed. So it gives us about six more years. So if you want to talk about that, Social Security, making better investment decisions. And I think, you know, my day job for years, I CEO and founder and ran this financial advisory firm. And that's still what I do day to day throughout, is help my advisors on all the cases. And what it really comes down to, a core part of what we do on the day job, is help people make better financial decisions, create diversification. And you'll hear me call that blending your money. You know, I think maybe diversification is old school, but that is what we're doing. But I always kind of define it as blending across certain asset classes to help you do better in the long term, whether the market's moving up, as it's been doing for a while now. But you remember what happened back in March? Yeah, it went down. I've got some news for you. It's going to do that again. When? Oh, you're wanting to know when? I don't know. But typically, it's like I'm rounding here. On average, about 1.8 years, we have a correction. So are you prepared for that? You know, what's worse is when you're taking income and those corrections happen. That can be devastating if you're too heavy in certain asset classes.
Mike and Gretna, you're going to be first up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Mike?
7B. You have to start withdrawing the money at 70 and a half. Is that correct?
Hey, Mike, was that all of your question, the seven starting at 70 and a half? Because the mic didn't bring you up quickly. I was wanting to make sure we didn't miss any part of the question.
Right. I have two questions. I have a question about that, and I have a question about Social Security. So you have to start taking the money out at 70 and a half for the plan. The 457B plan, correct?
Okay. What age are you now, since you're the one asking the question?
I'm 69.
Okay. Yes. Required, and yes, that I understand your question, but yes is not the answer to your question. Actually, required minimum distributions start at age 72, the year in which you turn 72. It's no longer 70 and a half.
Okay, but can you start taking the money out at 70 and a half if you want?
Excuse me. Had a cough attack all of a sudden as I was about to answer that question. Okay, actually, when you reach age 59 and a half and you're not working for that employer, you can start taking money out then. So to answer to your question, yeah, you can take it at 70, 70 and a half, age 69. But at age 72... you have to start taking distributions.
If you're still working for the same employer at 70 and a half, can you take it out?
Well, once again, go to these plans and, you know, 457, 403B. These are nonprofit plans, typically a little more complicated on the rules. And that is something you have to go and look at the particular plan if they allow that. That's like working for a private corporation and having a 401k as an example. Well, can I take distributions while I'm working? In most cases, that's a no, unless it allows in-service distributions, which means it has a provision inside the plan that allows you to take distributions while you're still working. And I'll just say, most plans do not. So go to your HR, speak to them about it. They can help you on the particulars of the plan, or call the plan administrator, whoever's managing that plan. And here's a document. I know this is a weird name. Summary plan description. That kind of creates that booklet called that, has all the rules of your plan.
Okay, my last question on the 457B, the money that you receive from that is that creates a taxable event, correct?
Yes.
Okay, now exactly. On Social Security, what percentage of Social Security that you receive is subject to taxes? Is it 50%, 100%, 75%?
On how much you're taxed on Social Security?
Right. It's my understanding that in the past, some of the past regulations were that in past years, maybe 50% of the Social Security that you received was subject to taxation and the other 50% was exempt. I just wanted to know if there's any type of exemption for the amount of Social Security that you receive currently that's not subject to taxes.
Yeah, and it depends on your combined income. And so, for example, single tax filers with a combined income of $25,000 to $34,000, in between those numbers, you're paying taxes on 50% of your Social Security benefits. And this is for single filers. If your combined income is less than $25,000, you're not taxed. If it's more than $34,000, you're paying 85% of your, and just to be clear, because I don't want to mix up wording here, 85% of your Social Security is included in your taxable income if you're making more than $34,000. And to repeat
right,
again, 25 to $34,000, it's 50% is included in taxable income.
So over that amount, 85% would be subject to taxes.
Exactly. So are you single or married?
Single.
Okay. So those numbers fit you in that case. For the listeners that have a spouse that are married, that first bracketing is $32,000 to $44,000. 50% is included in taxable income. Less than $32,000, none. Over $44,000 is 85% of your benefits may be taxable.
Okay, that's great. Answer my question. I appreciate your help. Thank you.
Awesome. Now, a little clarification on how do we get to combined income? Well, your adjusted gross income plus non-taxable interest plus one half of your Social Security benefits equals combined income. And the combined income, filing a joint return between $32,000 and $44,000, then 50% of the benefits will be included in taxable income. So you got to also remember, it's not just you earn all of your earned income and such and all of your Social Security benefits. You have to get to the formula, which is adjusted gross income plus non-taxable interest. That might be interest on your tax-free bonds, for example, plus one half of your Social Security benefits gives you that number, which is combined income, to figure out where are you bracketing at. Hopefully that helps everyone.
All right. Our last caller from yesterday, he called in with about 3 minutes left on the show, but he spent the first half of his call telling us how great we did the last time he called. I skipped all that part out and I just got straight to it.
Oh, darn. I like that.
I know.
Part.
I love the compliments. I just needed to streamline it a little bit. This is from last night's show. Norman in Garyville. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey, Norman.
My question is, I got my serviceman group life insurance. When I retired the Marine Corps in 1992, it was like for $200,000 for so much a month, and I've had that all these years. So what is that? Can you sell it? Because I called up this one company, And whenever you, they advertise to sell it, but you got to have bad health, one foot in the grave, and just, you know, that kind of stuff. But can you really sell that or what?
Typically, what they're looking for on life insurance, and Congress basically created as a commodity, or the IRS, long, long time ago, to where you have to have insurable interest when you purchase it. But nowadays, if you buy a life insurance policy, I think one of the things they ask for, do you plan to sell it? If you're planning to sell it, they probably don't want to insure you. But if you've had a policy that's already in force, you can change ownership to somebody else and sell it. But that group problem, probably not the case there. Hey, Norman, call us back tomorrow and we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah, you heard the exit music kind of interrupting the call there.
Like, the show, it's already over?
No, we're back live now. That was just from the last couple minutes of yesterday's show. So help Norman and Garyville out. What are some of the rules as far as getting that government life insurance? Can you cash it out? It sounds like one of those, it's my money and I want it now sort of situations.
Well,
it's not that though, is it?
No, typically group programs are some type of term insurance. Now, some cases, they may be convertible to a whole life or universal life as an example. So it's going to be subject to the company plan. But sometimes when you're in a group program and you're leaving that employer, there may be options to convert that and continue the coverage outside of the plan. So you'll probably see maybe a bump up in premiums, but if that gives you the right to conversion, that gives you ownership of the coverage. Then if you are looking to sell that to a third party, you would then have the right to do so if you own the life insurance.
You know, that's the second time that's come up on this show today. There are some things with these financial vehicles that are governed by laws and edicts that come down from the IRS or Congress, and some of them have to do with just the rules in the plan itself or your company's HR department or whoever's making those rules.
You know, that's a really important part when we go back to company plans, nonprofit plans, 457B, 403Bs, 401Ks, 401As. There's a lot of these that are out there, and some of them are different, but they also have to adhere to ERISA rules as well. And even, and I can give you inside of a 401k, which more people have those codes through private employers, but those plans will vary company to company. Like some may have in-service rollover, some may not. Some may have hardship provisions, some may not. Some match more than others. And then they have different investment options with inside. And every plan differs, but you know, you heard me speak earlier about the summary plan description. It's kind of the, when I sit down and talk to somebody about their plan, that's one of my favorite questions asked. Do you have a copy of the summary plan description? And they'll say, oh, what is that? Everybody has one. Everybody. If you have a company plan, you have a summary plan description, and that defines the rules of how the plan works. I'll even refer to it as the Bible of your company plan, and your HR department may well be able to send that to you. Somebody sent it to you at some point or given or said, hey, you have access. The company, the administrator of your plan has that. I think you should have it, and keep it on file, save it in a folder on your computer. Heck, ask for it and send me a copy as well. info@gregoryricks.com, by the way. I like collecting summary plan descriptions.
You love a good summary
plan. I love a good summary plan. I like reading them.
You know, that sounds bizarre to the outside world, right? You like summary plan descriptions? Because I picture you on like a Mexican beach under a palm tree in a lounge chair. And you got your sunglasses on, flipping through a summary plan description.
That's me, exactly.
With a Corona Light. Scott's in Biloxi. You're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Scott?
How's it going, gentlemen?
Hey.
So, I had a question. I'm going to be retiring from the military within the next about year and a half or so. And my question is, I have the TSP, and I'm currently in the S fund, and I'm just seeing if it's smart to leave it, the money in the S fund, or roll it over into my civilian Roth IRA and my civilian mutual fund.
So you have that option to roll it over. I'm kind of a big fan of having more choices. And when you're in the S fund, that's a small capitalization stock investment fund. So can you give me a range that you're comfortable with talking about on there? And, you know, it's Scott, but I don't think anybody knows who Scott is. So how much are we talking about there?
Right now, the 1099 that came out this year alone, we just got, it was a 31% interest. And then it was basically, I started it when I was 18, when I joined, and right now it's sitting at about 102 right now.
Well, congratulations on that, Scott. And by the way, thank you for your service and starting at age 18. I initially joined the service right out of high school too, because I need some help on college and getting some things in order. I thought it was a good thing, but basic was pretty tough. What branch were you in?
Marines.
Whew. Man, that wasn't easy, was it? But it made you strong, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Going back on some memories there in basic training. It wasn't very fun at the time, but I thrived from it, and I'd say I'm better for having that experience.
Do you predate the TSP, the Thrift Savings Plan? Did they have that for you?
Yeah. They did not. Okay, so kind of like you're all in stocks, so to speak, and you know, like back in March, that was kind of painful, but you've done well since then because that's came back up and you've grown the account more. I'm more about blending and having diversification subject to your risk number. I don't like the idea of everything being in stocks. I'm a market guy and money manager, and I've been doing this a long time. I don't have all my money in stocks myself. I like blending and having a mix of doing that. So your choice of, do I leave it in the TSP or move it over to an IRA? Now you mentioned, I think I heard the word Roth. If you're in a traditional TSP account and you want to move it to a Roth account, that's a taxable event. I would caution you not to do that. Going to create a big tax bill. So what you would do is roll it over to a traditional IRA account. And if you move that to another securities firm brokerage, you have a lot of choices out there. You have all these different types of mutual funds. I prefer exchange traded funds for efficiency. I like indexing because what history tells us is you skew a higher return by indexing than individual stock selection. So be careful doing this and do it yourself and don't get caught up in the, I'm going to pick me some stocks and all. Look, most day traders don't do well. So be careful with that.
Oh no, I'm definitely not a day trader. That's why I have a money marketer, and he runs the family money marketer. He runs my Roth IRA and he runs my mutual fund. I was just wondering, when I retire, should I pull it from the TSP and put it in that, or just leave it in the TSP when I retire?
Yeah, I think you need some diversification where you are with it now. And that should be one of the considerations, because when I put it out there on that information, you can leave it in the TSP, but you also can move it over and roll it over to a traditional account. If you were going to go to another employer that, say, has a 401k, you can move those funds over there as well. So you have another options. I'll just say, when you move over away, roll it over to a brokerage away from the TSP, you have so many options out there. And some of those options that you don't have are no risk options as well to consider. So I'm kind of a fan of rolling it over. If it was me, yeah, that's what I would do. But I want you to consider all those options that you do have.
And then if I did stay, would you, even after retirement, would you stay in the high risk fund even at 38?
No, I wouldn't be in the high risk fund now, because the market is going to pull back. Yes. But I would blend some of that. When I say blending, I also mean diversify, or I would share in that fund in some of the other accounts, like maybe have some in the F fund. some in the C fund. And then, you know, I like that S fund as well. And you rocked it last year, didn't you, on that?
Yes.
That was sweet money. But, you know, remember, some of your profits you want to protect. You're 38. There's a long ways to go out there. But that is something that you can, there's my phone ringing in the background.
I thought I'd
turn the sound off on that. But okay. So yeah, I would diversify that a bit and wouldn't keep all that higher risk.
I appreciate the information. Thank you very much, sir.
Awesome. Thanks for listening to Winning at Life. Appreciate your service, continued service, and the call. I'm going to talk about crude oil a little bit here. $50.11 were showing last. It opened at $49.82. Settlement was $49.93, so it was up a little bit. And aftermarket, it is up even more. And that price shows us at a three-month high. I looked at the 1 year, and that's not a high for the 1 year, but at 3 months, over the past 3 months, yeah, we're rocking a high point. And here's the news on that that's probably affecting that is OPEC basically agreed to keep output consistent, and Saudi Arabia says, yeah, we're going to dial it back 1 million barrels a day. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah, I think you're giving too much credit to the rest of OPEC. Saudi Arabia is the one being all magnanimous and generous because
they had agreed to stay consistent.
But Kazakhstan and Russia came to the meeting and they're like, we need to raise production. Kazakhstan's, I need to raise.
But Saudi Arabia dialed it back to keep that. They're the ones. Yeah, we're all in on this.
So there's the circle. This is what happens anytime you have this economic cartel theory happen is some guys come to the front and Kazakhstan's like, I need to raise production by barrels a day. Russia says, I need to do a whole lot more than that. So they go, well, who's cutting?
They need the money.
Yeah, Iran, are you cutting? No. Venezuela, you cutting? No. Syria, you cutting? And Saudi Arabia's like, fine, we'll do all the cutting. We'll do it all. So I don't expect this little cartel
to hang together.
Yeah, unanimity to hang together. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker, and we are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. You're not too excited to talk about Bitcoin being above 33,000 again?
Well, we saw it at 32,000 last night. Where is it at this time?
Yeah, it popped back a little bit today above 33,000, almost to 34,000 for a second there.
I'm showing $33,739. And 3 cents from CoinDesk is giving me the number. I think this is a scary thing to put your money in. And yeah, it was scary at much lower prices. I think it's speculative. I would avoid it. This kind of gives me the sense of, you know what, when I see that tulips, I think of.
It could crash one day and never come back and never be worth anything ever again. The weird part about Bitcoin is that all the other cryptocurrencies, or so many of the other cryptocurrencies, have done that. They've gone, most cryptocurrencies that have been started do not exist anymore. This is just the one anomaly here, which makes it even more scary and more dangerous. Health savings accounts. Health savings account hold a magical place in the world of Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Because it has the magic trifecta. Because the HSA is the rare chance. It's not the only chance, but they are rare. That you can put away money pre-tax. It can grow tax-deferred or really tax-free. And if you take it out for the proper situations, it comes out with no tax hit either. It escapes. It's the total investment that escapes the tax bubble from beginning to end. And that's what's beautiful about the HSA, but it's a health savings account. You have to have a high deductible health plan to even qualify for one. Once you do, you can contribute pre-tax money as long as it's spent on healthcare needs. Then what an amazing tax benefit it has. So look, almost everything else that goes in pre-tax gets taxed at some point. The 401k, we had the call about the 457, some of these IRAs, but this is an exception.
That is one of the awesome benefits is it goes in pre-tax and it comes out essentially tax-free if you're using it, you know, for example, for medical expenses right there. So it's kind of one of those awesome tools. The drawback is anybody can't do it because, as James mentioned, you have to have a high deductible health insurance plan.
All right. So a couple of things you need to know about it. Number one, keep your receipts. You will be reimbursed for money you spent on healthcare related items down to the last cent. Just keep your receipts. You also need to keep in mind that there is no restrictions on how much it can grow. There's only restrictions on how much you can contribute to it. So if it has a gangbuster year and it happens to grow by 300%, they're not going to say, well, you've passed a certain level of growth here, or your account's got too big and it's fallen into an actual tax bracket instead of being free. No, the bigger it gets, the better it gets. It's just fine. The only restrictions you have really are what you're allowed to contribute to it on a yearly basis.
Yeah. And that's a good thing is being able to grow that account. That is a significant opportunity that you have to, you know, compound the size of that account, as well as, they don't bully you into using your money by the end of the year. All that money you saved rolls over. It's not like if you don't spend it, you lose it. So that's an awesome option there.
All right. These things are portable as well. If you lose your job, you do not lose your health savings account. That is amazing, especially if you're a person who has a tendency to bounce from job to job. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just some careers lend themselves to that. And finally, HSA funds can be invested. So you can go in and you can put some of that money into some investments and have it grow and do some work on its own and actually get more out of every dollar than you put in there, as long as you put them in the right vehicles. But if you want more on that, HSAs, we have an episode of that on the Ask Gregory podcast. If you need the services of a financial advisor or have more questions, want to talk to the pros, call Gregory's office, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual's situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.